motherhood, to be a mother, is the most demanding job on the planet. To be a mother is the least recognized, rewarded job on the planet. But to be a mother is the most important job on the planet, without any question about it. And mothers instinctively have a love for children, a feeling to protect their children, to give their life for their children, to pour everything into their children. It's that maternal instinct that mothers always have. You can't measure it. It is bigger than any standards we have to understand it. A mother, that instinct, is not only in humans. You find it also in animals. You go in the animal world, you find this same kind of mama drive to protect and care for the little ones. Look at the elephants. When a mother elephant has a little elephant, that little elephant stays right by that mother. And elephants move in circles. They move in families. And therefore, they move out in families, and that baby elephant stays right by that mother elephant. And dare anyone to interfere or disturb that baby, you've got an elephant on your hands. The mother elephant. What a powerful, instinctive thing you see there. And you see it all the way through the animal world. Look at the kangaroo. The kangaroo carries a newborn about every 250 to 300 days. And in those days, a little kangaroo is born. It can be as small as a grain of rice or as big as a bee. And the kangaroo takes that little infant babe and puts it in his pouch, and it stays there for 400, 500 days, that little joey, until it comes out and it is a beginning baby kangaroo. Skin to skin as that baby develops, kangaroo. And we also see that in panda bear. Did you know a panda bear is born, weighs only about 3 to 5 pounds? A panda bear. And that mother panda takes that little bear and carries it just like a female mother would for about 3 months until that little bear can walk and take care of himself. The protective love of a panda bear for its mother. Look at all the octopuses. By the way, it's not octopi, it's octopuses. I saw some scholarly person talk about octopi. There are no octopi, they're octopuses. Look it up. And when the octopuses lay their eggs, the mother octopus stays with those eggs, and they lay many of them until every egg is hatched. And that mother octopus just hovers all those eggs, and sometimes it takes 4 or 5 years. And when all the eggs are hatched, the mother octopus dies of starvation because she's done nothing but watch over her eggs. But of all the animals, the whale, the mother whale there with little calf, is most protective of all the animals we know anything about in that world. The mother whale, when that little calf is born, that calf stays right by that mother whale. The calf doesn't sleep for 3 days. The mother whale stays awake for 3 days. Every mother here can identify with that. And then that little baby whale stays with that mother the rest of its life. Whales stay together as family in their pods. What a protective environment. I read this and I thought about, remember August 2018? We saw that whale that was located by someone there in the northwest coast of our country between U.S. and Canada. There's that whale that a baby calf had died, but the mother kept taking the dead baby calf and keeping it on its back, remember, and the National Geographic was there, and all the news media were there, and we tracked this whale. And they named the whale Taliqua. And then they identified the whale, and they called the whale J-35, and they followed it for 17 days. It refused to give up on that dead baby, that calf, and bounced it and carried it on its back 17 days over 1,000 miles. Such was the love, instinctive, built-in love of that mother whale for that baby whale. She knew that when it went down, it would never come up again. And in human life, my, how passionately the instincts, the maternal instincts of mothers have for those babes that they carry. Back when Roe v. Wade was first passed, 1973, a teenage girl was in college. She realized she was pregnant, but she was determined to carry that baby full term. She knew if her parents discovered she was pregnant, they would force her to have an abortion that only recently had become legal. So she hid her pregnancy for 5 months. When her folks found out, they demanded that she get abortion. And she fought, and they took her to the doctor, and finally she was on that table there, and she was begging that she could keep that baby, her baby. And they said no. And the doctor performed an abortion. In those days, you remember, they used a saline solution. And they would put that solution in a little pouch that was constructed by God to keep the baby alive in the period of growth from fetus through the various stages. And that saline solution would come and scald the skin of the baby. They call them candy apple babies because they'd be red. It would scald all the skin, and then the saline would go in the organs, and the baby would die. And then they would force the birth to take place. But this little baby swam around there and fought for life for 5 days until they finally thought the baby was dead, and they induced labor, and the baby was born, one of those candy apple babies, as they call them. But the baby was still alive. What was the doctor to do? In order not to be a failure, he took that little candy apple baby that was still alive and put it in a secret closet, closed the door, and left it there, knowing in time it would die from neglect. The passion for life. The number one moral problem today, ladies and gentlemen, in the world and in America is the lack of the passion for life for a baby to be protected in the womb of the mother. You know the most insecure place in the world today? Where is the place that you would go you'd be most fearful for your life? Some foreign country on the front line of some battle that's being fought. You could name all places we'd be frightened for our life. There's no place where death is more prominent than in the womb of a mother. That's the most dangerous place a baby, a person could be, because out of every four pregnancies in America, one of them, a life is taken in the womb of the mother. There's no place more dangerous than that. On death row is not more dangerous than that, because it goes out for many, many months, far longer than the 9 months. Those 9 months are the most precarious months any life would have to be sustained. Since Roe v. Wade, there's been over 60 million abortions in the United States. Last year in the world, there were over 30 million lives taken in the mother's womb. We're worried about COVID. We think, oh my goodness, look at all the people who are dying, and they are, some 200,000, but proportionately. And there's no vaccine for the killing of babies in a mother's womb. There's no vaccine for that. This is an ongoing activity, almost hidden, smoothed over. It's legal. It's okay. A hidden activity in the culture of death in which you and I now live. It is the number one moral problem that we face. Well, you say, let's talk about the real significance of this thing. First of all, we have to understand something about life. Everybody here, every conception, every life is created in the image of God Almighty. We're created in His image. We see that in Genesis chapter number 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our image, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over all every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. In verse 27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God put His stamp, He built His image into every single life at the very moment of conception. And we're made in the image of God, but that image has been marred by your sin and my sin. And so when we come to Christ, that image is being recreated in us day by day by day. That's the growth in the Christian life. That image is growing. But the day of judgment, Matthew chapter 25. Remember, Jesus divides those who are being judged with the sheep and the goats. And let's say this is the goaty section we have over here. And here's all the goats. And Jesus says to them very clearly, in that time in which, by the way, truth is there. In judgment, there's no spinning around. No. Truth is there. Truth about every one of us. And Jesus said to the goats, He says, I was hungry, and you didn't give me anything to eat. He said, I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. He said, I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. He said, I was naked, and you didn't give me clothes. I was in prison. He said, you didn't come to see me. And He could have said, I was in the womb, and you allowed someone to kill me. Jesus said, if you have treated the least of these, is there anything smaller or more insignificant than a little baby in the womb of its mother? A little feet, anything more insignificant. Jesus said, if you have mistreated one of the least of these, you have mistreated, you have done it unto me. Jesus said, it's better to take someone who has misused a child, a baby, and hang a millstone around their neck and throw them in the bottom of the ocean than to let them live. You think God Almighty doesn't take the sacredness of life, doesn't take the fact that we're created the image of life seriously? By the way, folks, there's no middle ground here. There's no middle ground. You're either pro-life or you're pro-death. There's absolutely no middle ground. All this thing with first trimester, that's a bunch of mess and baloney and the propaganda of Satan. You're either pro-life or you are pro-death. We're made in the very image of God. You say, well, how did God make us in His image? The Bible tells us, and it's such a powerful verse that He gives us here. He says in the book of Job, He says, Job 10 verse 8, your hands fashioned and made me altogether. Isn't that something? And you would destroy me. Remember now that you have made me as clay, and would you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and loving kindness. We are created by the very hand of God. In other words, when you were born and I was born, God himself individually shaped and formed every single human life, made his image, and he shaped it. You read that in Psalm 139. You see that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He shaped all of us. What a fabulous thing. And those pro-choicers, those abortionists, they say, well, I'm going to tell you, you look inside and you see only a wad of cells. Let me tell you something. Every one of us alive here, we're wad of cells. Everything about me and you, from my hair to everything, we're all cells. Everybody here, you're just a bunch of cells. You are a wad of cells. But the difference is, as with a fetus, as with a babe in the mother's womb, as with all of us, those cells are alive. It's an organism. Its life is in those cells. By the way, when the law was passed that legalized abortion, it's interesting, they had a problem with the 14th Amendment. For the 14th Amendment says every person has to be protected and have due process under the law. Well, they can't argue the fact that life begins at conception. But they had to say, well, now you have a baby. If a baby is a person, how can a person have due process? So they ran into a problem there with the 14th Amendment. And then they said, oh, we've got it. It says a baby is simply human and they're not yet a person. And they have divided humanity from personhood. A crazy division. And they never say, well, when does a human become a person? Is it when they have arms and legs? Is it when they have viability? When they can depend upon themselves? When does that happen? They never say. They just say simply, there's not due process there because an unborn is not yet a person. It's simply human. How can you divide humanity from personhood? But this is what the forces of evil have done in our culture to escape and redefine the very constitution upon which our nation stands. And then we move and say, well, a woman has freedom of choice, as if that gives license to choose anything. No one lives an autonomous life, folks. We have the freedom of choice. I can take this speaker and kick it. I can go and just take Ronnie Gajewski and hit him right in the nose. That is my choice. But that's not the right. Just the thing of choice doesn't mean there's a choice to determine whether a life lives or a life dies, or a life is killed in the womb of a mother. That is the most bizarre, crazy argument. Well, we've heard it so much, we think it's some kind of right inherent that females have. It is not. It's the byproduct of this deadly thing that's a part of our culture and a part of our society. And all of a sudden, we have a whole nother agenda before us. We have to understand that human beings are born with a stamp, with the face of God, the image of God on them. Human beings, every human being is shaped and planned, and that's a figure there, an idea of how intimately God cares and has for every life. Therefore, the bottom line is, life is holy. Life is sacred. It's of God. It's a sacred thing. It has to be handled and dealt with and understood as something that is very sacred, made in the image of God, shaped by the very hand of God, the sacredness of life. It's a gigantic givenness of every life, your life, my life, and the life of a fetus in every womb in the world. But here we are. We live in a culture of death. We want to find the culture of life. But let me tell you something. Did you know that the slave owner and the pro-choicers are just alike? Those who own slaves, the slave owners, are just like those who are pro-abortion. So explain that. We know back Dred Scott went before the Supreme Court, and those unelected robe wonders decided that a slave was property. Slave was not a person. Dred Scott, ruled by our U.S. Supreme Court, said a slave's not a person. You can do what you want to with a slave. It's property. That is the same thing that happened to Roe v. Wade. They said, that baby is not a person. That baby, it is just property. You can kill it if you want to kill it. A pro-abortioner and a slave owner had the same mentality. And the Supreme Court gave basically the same judgment that life in the womb and that life as a slave is not really a human person and a human being. And you can kill it if you want to because it's just another piece of property. You remember Taliqua, the whale? Stamped J-35. 2 weeks ago, she was seen off the coast there in the Pacific, and she was swimming, and by her was swimming a newborn baby calf. And they described that calf, they know the whale, as swimming beautifully and freely and wonderfully in the waters of the ocean. I've got even better good news than that. You remember the little candy apple baby that was born and they put it in a closet to die? Remember? Remember that one? What happened was two nurses came and broke everything of the hospital rules. They could have been fired. They could have been prosecuted. And they went in that closet and they found that little 2-pound, 13-ounce baby, and they took it to another hospital at night. And doctors came and rescued that baby, and that little baby lived. The mother, you remember, who fought as hard as she could for her some 38 years before. Now this little baby, Melissa Ogden, had grown up in a wonderful family. And after she was 5, she had no scars indicating there would ever been any problem. And 38 years later, she found out who her birth mother was. And she called that birth mother, who just knew that, man, that little baby was killed and aborted when she was a teenager against her will. She called that birth mother. It was like a resurrection. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Our God is a God of redemption. Ladies and gentlemen, our God is a God of life. Exodus, chapter number 1, there were two other nurses named Shiphrah and Purah. Who in the world are they? When Pharaoh said, kill all the baby boys that are born, these are two nurses, two midwives, Shiphrah and Purah said, we're not going to do it. And they took those baby boys, instead of throwing in the Nile, they clandestinely gave them back to their mothers. And they lived. Those nurses that went in that closet back there 38 years ago, they were modern Shifrah and Purah. And let me tell you something else. You go to the crisis pregnancy centers in this city. I saw a lady last week who works there. She counsels for life. She said, I saved 4, I saved 5, I saved 10. I saved, how many lives are saved there in this kind of biblical Christian counseling? My goodness, we're at a war. If someone saved 10, 15, 20, 30, 1,000 lives, well, they'd get the Congressional Medal of Honor. They'd be on the front page of every newspaper, life that had been saved. This is what we can do. This is how we can support. This is how we can give. This is how we can get involved. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the body of Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and our good God Almighty, we're in the business of life.